federal.com.
The Congressional Spotlight on Federal News Radio is presented by AT&T, investing in its network today to connect America's small businesses to the dreams of tomorrow. AT&T, your world delivered.
Well, good morning. Welcome, and thanks for joining us here on Federal News Radio for our Your Turn show. And we have a four-parter today that should satisfy just about everybody in the federal family. Going to start off listening to John Barry, the Director of the Office of Personnel Management, and Max Steyer from the Partnership for Public Service. We're going to touch later on in the show with Ed Zierendorfer, and he's going to talk about the impact of the health care reform package on the federal employee health benefits program. And then finally, Dorothy Rominski and I are going to round it up by doing a rundown on what's happening with the Thrift Savings Plan. And as you know, with the meltdown in Greece and in Europe and volcanic ash everywhere, the international markets are not as robust as we would like them to be. Monday, I was at the Office of Personnel Management as part of their Public Service Recognition Week kickoff, and I got to speak with Director Barry and talk with Max Steyer about why we're having this public service awards ceremony each year.
Do we really need a Public Service Recognition Week? And, you know, some people think it's just a cheerleader camp for federal workers. What's the point?
Well, Mike, I think on two fronts it's critical. One is the morale of our workforce. It's important every once in a while for people to pat themselves on the back. Federal employees do a great job every day for their neighbors across the country serving the public. Whether it's fighting forests, whether it's taking care of our wounded veterans in VA hospitals, whether it's protecting the life of the president, our federal employees are on the front lines every day, helping to improve the quality of life in our nation. So this is sort of twofold. One is to thank them for that service and thank them for the risks that they take to serve their country. Many of them pay the ultimate price, Mike. Since the Oklahoma City bombing, over 2,000 federal employees in the civil service have lost their lives in service of their neighbors. We need to honor that service. We need to recognize the level of quality that it gives us. But also it's a chance to help educate the public. Many Americans only hear about public servants when it's election time, and then they only hear it through the lens of the whipping boy, and where people gang up on them or sort of use them as an easy target. We need to educate Americans that, the nurses who are in our VA hospitals handling some of the most complicated wounds in the country shouldn't be made whipping boys. And so part of this week is to help elevate the public awareness of what civil servants and public servants do. But the other is to, quite frankly, pat them on the back so they can keep their morale up and keep doing a great job for the American public.
You told a wonderful story that I had not heard about the IRS worker in Austin who was killed when the terrorist, disgruntled taxpayer crashed into the building and killed him. And you had a story about that.
Yes, Mike. His name was Vernon Hunter, and when the plane ran into that building, during his funeral service, his son doing his eulogy, at a time when most people and most families would have a great deal of anger against a person who would resort to such violence. And his son, instead of finding anger, found hope and peacefulness in his father's dedication to his service. And he said, if the person who ran their plane into that would have talked to my dad, Mr. Hunter, he would have helped him. And that's the level of dedication we have in our civil service. People don't draw distinctions on who they serve based on what their party ideology is. They draw it on based of need, and they rise to that occasion and try to meet that need. And that's what public service is about, Mike, doing good. And the men and women I encounter or I've encountered every day of my life have been surrounded by people who have such passion to do good for others. That's what we need to honor, and it's what one of the things that I believe makes our country great.
Max Steyer, the Public Service Recognition Week is once a year. By the way, it always rains. Why is that?
Well, we haven't quite figured that one out other than to say this year we're predicting good, beautiful weather. So,
okay. How are you doing? I mean, you've been at this some time. The polls go up and down about how people feel about federal workers. There's all the talk about overpaid feds and all that. What's your feeling? Where are you going with this?
Look, I think that John had it exactly right. You have to thank the people who are doing great work, and that's our federal civil servants. We also have to tell the American people what it is that their public servants are doing for them and for our country. And I think that there are a lot of things to be extraordinarily proud of that we get to celebrate this week. So I think we're doing very well. We're trying new things. We have a partnership with Junior Achievement where we're going to have a lot of high school kids coming in and job shadowing at federal agencies. We're actually this is an event that takes place across the country. If you go to publicservicerecognitionweek.org, PSRW.org, you'll see proclamations and events that are taking place literally across the country. And we feel optimistic that there's a great story to tell and that this is the right week to tell it.
How about the size of government? It seems to me it's remained constant over the years, although the population is in some instances doubled.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of mythology out there about government growing topsy-turvy when we, in fact, have a workforce that is the same size as it was during the 1960s. And as you suggest, there were literally 100 million fewer Americans and a lot fewer things that we were looking to our federal government to do. So we have, in fact, a much smaller workforce trying to do more and more and to address a larger and more serious set of problems that we face as a nation.
Well, a large part of the electorate seems to be very unhappy with government at all levels, Congress in particular, but the bureaucracy as well. And yet, I think they had to pass a federal law which said that people can't give their letter carrier a present. They hold them in such high regard because of the things they do. They save lives literally every day. They see the mail build up, and they go in and rescue a little old lady or a little old man or something. And yet, is there a split personality for people between their perception of the government and I mean, are they of two minds?
Oh, I think, Mike, there's no question, but there's two minds. This is deep in the American tradition. I think you mentioned it during our ceremony. We're a country of revolutionaries. We like to be against big power, big government. And so when people think of things in the abstract, you think of Congress, people hate the institution. People think of the government, they hate the institution. But then you ask, what do you think of your congressman or woman? Oh, I like them. They're doing a good job. They work really hard. You know, what do you think of park rangers? Oh, my gosh, I was just at Gettysburg over the weekend. They were great. They told my kids great stories. They brought the Civil War to life. You know, what do you think of Secret Service agents protecting the president? Oh, my God, the courage they show. You know, when you bring government down to the individual job, to the VA nurse, to the researcher at NIH who's curing leukemia for children, to the person putting their life at risk fighting forest fires in the western United States, or right now helping to clean up these oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico, those are federal employees. Those are Fish and Wildlife Service employees out there risking their own lives to save endangered species. So, any American with a heart beating that is still true to the red, white, and blue, when they hear the individual story, stand up and salute. But when they're in the aggregate is when we have our problem. And so I think we, there's a natural tendency for Americans to dislike the aggregate and love the individual sort of thing. So it is part of a challenge, but, it's really not a new challenge, Mike. This is one that's been around since the beginning of the country. It's up to us to make sure we tell the right story, and that is that there are good people who put their own lives on the line for their neighbors. And that's what this week is about, to say thank you to them, to tell their story to the rest of the country, and hopefully maybe we'll even recruit one or two.
Well, I have personally seen this. There was a major hurricane in Florida 10, 20 years ago in the Homestead area, and it just devastated South Florida. And the only people on the ground who couldn't get around were 4x4s and trucks, and they were driven by Forest Service people, by Park Service types, by postal workers, and they were moving Social Security clerks around who were giving people checks and or cutting them money vouchers because the banks weren't working.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, that's just, over and over you can see that day in and day out. And, our first line, it's not just federal employees who do this. I want a special shout out to our public servants and state and local government. Look at the fast responders in Times Square yesterday who averted what could have been a horrible disaster and loss of human life. We need to make sure we revere public service. Because we want the best and the brightest wearing the badge and defending our safety at the state and local level and at the federal level. We need to keep that reverence because, if the climate of denigration gets too thick in this country, then what it means is kids coming out of college won't be recruited and attracted to these jobs. And I hate to think of a country where we can't attract good people into the FBI to protect us against terrorists, who we can't attract good people into the Park Service to protect our national monuments and our treasured areas and our natural heritage. We need to attract the best and the brightest. We need to honor them. We need to thank them for all they do on our behalf. And hopefully we need to encourage our children to think about public service.
Max, I think you and I shared this. We were talking about it during the conference. And to me, I think you can do a little bit to make public service look better. But in the aggregate, given the American psyche and the fact that we're revolutionaries, it's always going to be an uphill battle. Do you see it that way?
I think John is an optimist, and I'm an optimist too on this respect. I actually think that there is always going to be some challenge, but my sense is that we are moving into an age in which there's a lot more transparency. And I think one of the great challenges for the federal government, even more than state and local, is it's sometimes hard to see what the federal government is doing for the American citizen. And I think many of the open government initiatives and other things, the ability of the public to touch government through the web much more, the more American public knows and understands about government, the more they're going to like it. So I'm actually an optimist going forward. If we do our job right, if we get these stories right, if we all own this as our problem, I think we can turn things around and really change the aggregate and not just the individual. Because at the end of the day, government is our ability to address our most critical problems in a collective fashion. It's our collective solution. And I think we can get there. We can get the public to understand that they are only hurting themselves if they're not willing to help take responsibility and invest in their own government.
I think I'm correct on this. I believe that President Carter took Scotty Campbell, the former director of OPM, to a single cabinet meeting, introduced him, and then I think he left. And he was held in high regard. Director Barry, you've been to a couple of cabinet meetings, correct?
Mike, yes, I've been very honored. The president really believes in restoring and making government cool again for our civil servants, for our public servants, and in connecting them as part of the solution, and seeing that, you know, we can have all the technology in the world we want. If we don't have the right people, it won't work. And so I've been very honored. The president has included me pretty widely. And has involved me in efforts to help make government work better. And we will continue to work in that regard. I think we're going to have some major initiatives coming forward in the near future on hiring that's going to make it a lot cleaner and a lot simpler for the public to get jobs with the federal government so that we can get that next generation in here, because folks that are, you're my age, are starting to think about retirement, and we've got to make sure we can replace them and keep the good work underway.
Well, you're very kind. I think I'll be retired before you are, but that's good of you to say. Anything you'd both like to say, summing up? I was going to... Okay. Well, just, is it possible that this could be the greatest generation of civil servants, or has that train left the station?
Mike, I think, look, my dad fought at Guadalcanal and was in the 1st Marine Division there, and my uncle gave his life, for whom I'm named, for our country by dying in the Pacific as a Marine fighter pilot. There's no question in my mind that they were the greatest generation. They took on probably the greatest evil that the human race has ever created and defeated it. They also managed to tackle the Great Depression for good measure. Our challenges today are serious, but we've had some great advances since then. My dad lived to see a man walk on the moon. I like to tell people Neil Armstrong was a GS-16 when he did it. He was a federal worker who was doing that job, and he was taken there and brought back safely by federal civil servants, public servants, doing their job, doing their best. We now live in the information age when, information is at our fingertips in ways, my mom and dad could only dream of. The great potential to do great things is still with us. the power to do good doesn't change from generation to generation. Each generation faces its own choices. Will it do better for its children and its grandchildren? And will it leave the country richer and better off and more abundant than it was given to them? That's the measure of whether you're doing a good job and whether our servants in public life are doing their jobs. If we are doing that, then that's the test. That's the moral test. Generations can also make the wrong choice, as was made, the evil that my father fought. Let's hope there'll always be good-hearted Americans to make good choices to leave our country richer and better and more abundant for our children and our grandchildren.
Interesting point. Neil Armstrong called me after the moon landing and asked if he should have Blue Cross Standard or high option. So he was very much a federal employee. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you both, and good luck this week.
That was John Barry and Max Steyer at Public Service Recognition Week ceremonies. They had them Monday at the Office of Personnel Management. I interviewed them afterwards. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back on WFED 1500 AM.
The Intelligence and National Security Report is brought to you by ManTech International Corporation.
ManTech has been providing IT services and solutions to the Air Force for more than 25 years, and they intend to deliver innovative and worldwide support to the upcoming NetSense 2 contract. They provide a full spectrum of net-centric services, including service-oriented architecture enterprise solutions, web service development, cybersecurity, network operations, and sustainment support. ManTech has been named one of the top 100 IT companies in the world by Business Week magazine.
Due to the high demand for ManTech's skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. Apply for openings today at ManTech.com. That's ManTech.com. ManTech, leading the convergence of national security and technology.
The Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com explores the hard issues surrounding cloud computing from the government's perspective, sharing with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the Fed Cloud blog on Twitter, sponsored by Intel and Cisco. Two technology companies leading the cloud revolution.
Save money at HalfPriceDC.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more. This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price gift certificates to Ozio, Washington's premier martini and cigar lounge, where they practice the art of leisure. Studio 355 in North Bethesda, award-winning stylists combine cutting-edge style with relaxation, and Cultura, DC's premier med spa, specializing in cosmetic dermatology, laser, and spa therapy, makes a great Mother's Day present. See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorback. Here's what we're working on for this afternoon's Daily Debrief. This morning on the Federal Drive, you heard about the Sammy's finalists. This afternoon, we're going to hear from one of them. And if you ever have those days when you wonder why you do what you do, well, join us this afternoon. We'll hear from somebody who literally made a difference on the ground in Haiti and posting budget data. We'll get some lessons learned from state and local governments. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabek and Amy Morris, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Pauly. And coming up at 10:30, we're going to be speaking with Ed Zirndorfer. He's a benefits expert, and he's going to talk about the impact of the health care reform on the federal employee health benefits program. And that should be worth listening to, because probably half the people in the Washington area are covered by, in one way or the other, the FEHBP. Between now and then, I wanted to let you on a little inside radio stuff. Dorothy Ruminski is our producer here
Hello.
For the show, and she does all of the work and sound bites and all of that sort of thing, and occasionally makes rude gestures at me when the time is running over. And after this show is over, she will listen to it, really for the first time, because she's doing other things, and kind of do a summary of it for our webpage, and it's always very useful. You did an excellent one yesterday, Dorothy, on the thrift savings plan with Tom Trabuca, and we're going to talk about that later in the show. And I know you really didn't have it, although you've been in studio here, you probably didn't have a chance to listen or take in what John Barry and Max Steyer were saying, but I know you've been working on the SAMMYs for
yes.
this Public Service Recognition Week. Now, most people know what an Oscar is.
Yes.
Many know what an Emmy is. What's a SAMMY?
The SAMMY is, it's short for Service to America. And every year, the Partnership for Public Service nominates, I believe it's 30 people. I'm not sure if it's the same number of people every year. But this year, we're going to have all 30 finalists. The finalists were just announced, I believe, earlier this week. Don't quote me on that. But the finalists for the Service to America medals were recently announced. And throughout the summer, Federal News Radio is going to talk to all 30 finalists. We're going to have both the Federal Drive and the Daily Debrief are going to have, I believe it's one a week, but I'm not sure. This is all starting to evolve. And since I do our website too, I'm involved with building the page. So there's going to be one page on federalnewsradio.com where you can go and find out all the information on all the finalists. And this year, I believe the ceremony is September 23rd. They have this huge gala at the end of the process. But like I said, we're going to have all 30 finalists on the air. And so you're going to have to, tune in and listen. And of course, if you're in the car, if you're at work, if for some reason you can't stream us online, that's where the magic of the internet comes in. And that's where I come in. And, we've got the Service to America page. So well, it'll be up later today.
So it's a very, very big deal. I've
yes.
been to some of these awards things, and they're always eye-opening, even as long as I've been doing this, some of the things government workers do. At the ceremony Monday at the Office of Personnel Management, they honored a man. He's was born, I believe, in Syria, but he's a naturalized American citizen. He went over to Iraq and Afghanistan as an interpreter and to serve the country, because they're badly in need of Arabic-speaking language experts. While he was there, he was out on a patrol. They were attacked by insurgents. Two American soldiers were killed. This American civilian interpreter was severely wounded. He was shot twice in the body and once in the head. Flew him back, got the best of medical care. 2 years of rehabilitation, and now he's back on the job. And Monday at the Office of Personnel Management, they gave him a special award, a Distinguished Service Award. And his wife cried. I mean, there really wasn't a dry eye in the audience hearing what this guy had done, what he'd done for his adopted
sure.
country. But his wife was crying, and his children were there. And when he got up to speak, he said, "I was just doing my job." That was
mm-hmm.
his speech for this great country. And when you see something like this, the John Barrys of the world, the Max Steyers, and the people who are pushing these SAMMY awards, this is not just, as I alluded to earlier, this is not just government workers patting themselves on the back. This is a chance to see what's really happening. And tomorrow night, I'm going to go to a black tie affair at the State Department and see some more presidential ranked winners. So, good times.
And it's going to, like I said, the SAMMYs are going to be online. And so you'll hear all of these different types of stories from all of these amazing federal workers. And like you said, it's not simply pat on the back. It's these people really are doing work that's changing our country. So, like I said, you'll be able to find out all of that information on air and online.
You get up close and personal, you'll be very impressed with your government. This is WFED 1500 AM. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with Ed Zirndorfer and your federal health program.
Checking your daily TSP ticker. The latest numbers from May 4th, 2010. The G fund is unchanged at $13.26. The F fund rises 0.04 at $13.73. The C fund drops 0.34 at $13.99. A slide of 0.58 for the S fund at $18.72. The I fund down 0.63 at $17.61. Your L funds all fall. The 2040 slips 0.37 to $16.24. The 2030 down 0.31 at $16.01. The 2020 falls 0.26 at $15.77. The 2010 loses 0.09 at $15.52. And the L income down 0.08 at $14.22. Check your rates anytime, every day on federalnewsradio.com. Dimitri Sotis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
If you work for or have worked for the federal government, I want to tell you about an organization that's been around for over 80 years. It's NARF. Organized in 1921 to protect and enhance the retirement and health benefits of federal employees. NARF wants you to know that laws can change and so can your retirement security. Protect it by joining NARF, the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. That's www.narfe.org. Or call 1-800-627-3394 and ask them to send you some information. Join now. NARF, your best retirement investment.
In this unpredictable economy, how much money have you lost? Join me, Carl Balestrieri, each week as we tackle the tough situations you've encountered and offer solutions for protecting your money and weathering this storm. In some of my future shows, we will be exploring the truth about investing, some of the things that your broker and financial planners may not be telling you. Join me, Carl Balestrieri, on Federal News Radio, Saturday morning at 10:30 for Right on the Money.
Across government, federal IT managers are contending with the OMB directive to consolidate data centers. Are you on the right path? Join leading experts from government and industry as they chart a practical roadmap to OMB compliance at the GTSI Technology Leadership Series, May 12th at the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. Attend and receive a free copy of their new federal IT survey on virtualization. To register, visit gtsi.com/TLS. GTSI, one mission, yours.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community, sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Bill Bransford will be joined by Craig Floyd, chairman of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, to discuss National Police Week 2010.
Here's Charlie Weiscarver, Deputy CIO, Department of State, on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization and Data Center Management Strategies, sponsored by Red Hat.
You know, the real advantage of what we have here is that these data centers and this consolidation effort that we have underway, it's given the CIO much better understanding of its inventory out there. We have visibility now, and someone had mentioned this earlier, is the visibility into all the assets out there. So I think it's going to make the federal government and industry as a whole much more leaner.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Is your agency faced with server sprawl? Virtualization is the answer, but what about the high upfront costs, complexity, and security concerns? Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization breaks down the barriers. You can virtualize your critical enterprise server workloads with compelling performance and scalability, industry-leading security, and the lowest cost in class. And instead of being locked into a proprietary solution, Red Hat gives you the freedom, control, and innovation you need. Learn how you can virtualize more securely and at a fraction of the cost. Visit redhat.com/RH. EV.
The American Council for Technology is celebrating 30 years of collaboration between government and industry. The upcoming Management of Change Conference features speakers, workshops, best practices, and networking opportunities, all focusing on the government's IT strategic agenda. Building on the success of the past 30 years of collaboration, this conference is a must-attend for government and industry IT leaders. Mark your calendar for May 23rd through the 25th at the Lowe's Philadelphia Hotel. For more information or to register, go to actgov.org/MOC2010. Register today.
Mike Causey. Welcome back to your turn. We're going to be talking in a minute with Ed Zierendorfer. He is a federal expert to benefit. Dorothy Rominski has tracked him down. And Ed, I know you're in the middle of a seminar now, so thanks for taking a break to talk with us.
My pleasure, Mike.
We wanted to talk about the impact, if any, of health care reform on the federal employee health benefits program.
Well, the major reform is going to come next January as a result of the passage of the Affordable Care Act back in March that Congress passed and the President signed. Employer-sponsored plans must children of employees who are between the ages of 22 and 26, let's say young adults, who do not have health insurance, will be eligible to join the federal health insurance plans. Until now, federal plans dropped children once they reached 22.
So, Eddie, if you're a dependent, you have a dependent child, and they hit their 22nd birthday this month or next month, what happens?
Well, the employee has the option of having the child stay on the federal FEHB plan. However, the coverage the parent or the child would have to pay for the full coverage. In other words, right now, employees and retirees, for that matter, pay 28% of the total premiums, and the government pays the remaining 78% of the total premiums. Under a so-called temporary continuation of coverage, a young adult between 22 who reaches 22 can stay on the plan for up to 3 years, but must pay the full premium, employer and employee portion, plus a 2% administrative charge, and that could be a pretty hefty amount of money.
So that can be 80% more than the person is now paying for family coverage, correct?
In other words, the child's paying 102% of the total premiums.
Okay. Okay. Now, there's legislation introduced yesterday, I believe, by several area members of Congress that would change this and make this coverage up until age 26 effective immediately. But, you know, I'm looking at the calendar here. It's May. The open season for the health insurance program starts in November, runs through December, and the automatic coverage up to age 26 begins January 1, 2011. So now it's now May. Do you think it's possible Congress would pass this in time to benefit anybody?
Well, Congress can pass it, but the fact of the matter is, will the plans be able to implement it? You know, in terms of this, you know, all of a sudden. My suggestion to parents who have young adults of this age is that, number one, is they look into the temporary continuation coverage, because, by the way, the first month is free. There's no charge for the first month. When a child turns 22, if a child's turning 22 this month, let's say May 15th, they have free FEHB coverage through June 15th. Thereafter, they have to start paying, let's say, June 15th through December 31st. But in the meantime, they could look around for a so-called bridge plan. Many insurance brokerages that offer health insurance offer what is called bridge plans that are temporary coverage up to six to 8 months, in which the child would have full health insurance coverage, pay not a bad price. It might cost anywhere from $100 to $150 a month, but they will have full coverage, especially for things like major medical. If they have to go to the hospital for a substantial period of time, they want to be covered for that. And then come January, they can join the federal plans. So they should really compare the cost. They should check with an insurance, health insurance broker to see if the child can get a plan, and not depend on Congress changing the law. Because even if Congress did, it's going to be the plans would actually have to implement them, and I'm not sure the federal plans can do that.
Well, it's interesting from a number of standpoint. We were talking this morning with Tom Timmon and Jane Norris about how many people are in this predicament, and of course nobody knows the answer. But if you're in it, for some people it's extremely serious. You know, there are a lot of jokes about the bum living in the basement or my ne'er-do-well kid is home. But with these economic times and the way the social world is changing, there are a lot of children, if you will, who are 22 or 26 who are at least partially financially dependent on their parents. So this is a serious matter for them. But what you're saying is that they could, once they hit the magic age of 22 and I guess 1 month, they could stay in the same plan through temporary coverage, paying 102% of the premium, but at least they would have coverage, and it would be for just a matter of a few months, or they could buy a bridge plan. So it's not hopeless unless people are in dire financial straits.
Yeah, and I'm one of them, Mike. Mm-hmm. Our third child, our older two are married and have health insurance of their own, but our third child turned 22 this past December, and I went out and got him a plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield, although he's still in college, a full-time student, and the student health plan wasn't worth much talking about. That's why I went out and bought him a private health Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, and we pay about $190 a month for his health insurance. Okay. So again, it is possible to shop around and get a more a plan that cost wise may be better than compared to what the FEHP plan will cost in terms of coverage and overall premium. I just want to mention something else about cost here.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of federal employees are excited about this idea of adding their young adults to the plans, the 22 to 26 year olds. But we're all going to be paying for this, because anytime you add more people to the so-called pool, the insurance companies are going to raise their premiums for everybody, because that's what they're looking. They're actuarially, they're doing this actuarially to see how they're in order to make a profit. So every federal employee who has so-called self and family coverage, self and family means, two people or three people or 15 people in a family, everybody's going to be paying more in premiums for any particular plan. So it's not going to be a cure-all. Trust me, we're all going to be paying for this.
That's right. I think a lot of people think that there's safety and savings in numbers, but many of the people that will be mandatorily added to these various health programs, various health plans, are people who were not insured for a reason.
That's right. That's right. And I think the people who are going to be suffering most in terms of cost here are going to be the retirees. Take somebody who's retired, a federal annuitant, has self and family coverage, let's say the annuitant and a spouse. And no children, or there are no children with plan. They don't have any children younger than 26. They're going to be paying a higher premium for all these additional, people who are going to be entering the plans. Every plan, every federal health insurance plan, it could be Blue Cross Blue Shield, it could be Aetna, it could be Kiha, all these plans will be raising their premiums, I predict, come November, to take this into account.
Can they do that, Ed? Can they do that based on a presumption? I thought that the premiums were sort of experience rated, and they were saying this is what happened to us last year and the year before, with a little guess estimate for the future. But can they do that?
Well, they have to negotiate with OPM, and now OPM says you can't raise your premium to X number of dollars, so what are the plans going to say? Okay, fine, we will not raise our premiums, but we're going to raise deductibles and copayments, the amount of people have to pay out of pocket. I mean, insurance companies obviously are out to make a profit, and they can't lose money on the deal. If you're adding more people to the pool, they have to cover their base too, so you have to come to a compromise. Yes, we will not raise our premiums that much, but also, the people who have these plans, who participate in these plans, have to agree to pay more out of pocket. The insurance companies will be paying for less. The higher cost in the form of the people who have the plans, who are participating in these any plan, will be paying more in coinsurance, copayments, and deductibles. Those are the people who are working. The best way to pay for them is through the flexible spending accounts. But a retiree does not have access to a flexible spending account. So, as I say, they're the ones who are going to be suffering the most, are going to be the retirees in terms of self and family coverage.
Further proof that when you get a benefit or expand it, somebody pays. In some cases, lots of people pay. Ed, I know your time is limited, but you wrote a column earlier this week about a glitch in the redeposit business, and how the government's going to work on it. Would you tell us, A, what is a redeposit, who needs to make it, and what's the problem with it?
Oh, it's also a deposit. It concerns deposits. If an employee had some temporary time way back, let's say in the 70s and 80s, even those who are under CSRS, I'm interested in the 90s, and they want to get credit for that so-called temporary coverage, because when they were a temporary employee, they were not paying into CSRS or FERS. Now they can get credit for that time by giving the government money, make a deposit which is equal to 7% of their CSRS of their earnings, 0.8%, 1.3% if they were FERS, plus they owe interest on that deposit. It goes back to when they came back into when they were under federal, they started federal service. In the case of redeposit, those employees who were in the government, left the government, and pulled out the retirement contributions can now redeposit that money again with interest. The problem is that the interest rates depend on when you took out the money, when you had temporary time, and what retirement system you're covered by.
Ed, we'll put a link into your column. I know you've got to get back to your seminar, but thanks so much for joining us, Ed Zerndorfer. We'll talk to you again, and we're going to take a short break here on WFED 1500 AM, and we'll be right back.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Secretary of Commerce Gary Locke has announced that 9 American Recovery Act investments will go to help bridge the technological divide in the U.S. and boost economic growth, meeting several goals of that department. Over $114 million will be awarded to increase broadband access and adoption in over a dozen states. The grants will fund projects that lay the groundwork to bring enhanced high-speed internet access to thousands of households and businesses, and link hundreds of schools, hospitals, libraries, and public safety offices through the Internet. All told, the Department of Commerce has awarded 82 broadband technology opportunities program grants worth a total of $1.2 billion to expand broadband access through projects in a majority of states and territories.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down the walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
It was such a surreal experience to be getting ready for class and then a few hours later being diagnosed with cancer. It's just unbelievable. I was told I had 2.5 years to live.
When John Ivey was diagnosed with cancer, he couldn't afford the medicine he needed.
When it came down to money, it's very devastating. And here's a new drug that's potentially life-saving. And then all of a sudden to be told, you can't afford it, you can't have it. I was dying, and I wanted to live.
John contacted Novartis about the medicine he needed.
They told us to just forget about the money portion of it. They basically eliminated that part of the equation and said, let's just get you well. If it wasn't for people like that, people like me wouldn't be here.
Developing new medicines, getting them to the patients who need them. Novartis. Think what's possible.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Successful federal managers know it's vital to stay at the top of their game, and to do that, they turn to ESI International for help gaining and maintaining critical FACC, FACPPM, FACCOTAR, and DAU certifications. ESI trains more than 10,000 government employees each year, helping prepare them to meet any challenge. Classes start weekly on weekends and are available anytime online. For more information or to register today, visit esifederal.com. Strengthen your career and build your resume. esifederal.com.
Isn't it time for a government technology event that gives you 21st century IT solutions? Join us at Gov2O Expo, May 25th through May 27th at the Washington Convention Center for 3 days of incisive keynote speakers, in-depth training sessions, and networking with the brightest minds in the government IT sector. Gov2O Expo, the training event for the future of government computing. Expo hall passes are free for all government employees. Register today at gov2expo.com.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, is the home of the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10, Tom and Jane navigate the world of the RFIs, RFPs, circulars, executive orders, and regulations for you, the federal manager and contractor, and deliver news, perspective, and analysis in plain language to make your agency and company more efficient. Tom and Jane speak to newsmakers and analysts live to get to the details on the latest mission-critical news and information. The Federal Drive is federal news from the inside up. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Your source for federal news now. Tired of playing catch up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Caldy. That was one of our longer breaks. I washed my car and went out and got a pizza. I think Dorothy attended a wedding, but we're back with you now and glad to have it. Dorothy, as I explained earlier, your role in addition to producing the show and working all the buttons is at the end of the show or in various shows, you write up a summary mm-hmm. that goes up on our webpage, and I'm going to tell you they're great.
Thanks.
I depend on, I can't hear everything, and sometimes when you're doing a show, you really can't listen to it. So it's interesting to see your write up and your take. One of my, probably my favorite feature on Federal News Radio is when Chris Dorabeck and Amy Morris on Mondays have Tom Trabuca on as a regular guest. Tom is Director of External Affairs for the Federal Retirement Thrift Savings Investment Board, shorthand for the Thrift Savings Plan, the government 401k plan. And he had he always has interesting comments and updates and bring common sense to this. But it was particularly good this week, and I'm looking at your write-up here, and you were talking about, and it's so funny, too, you wrote this on May 3rd, and yet it's already changed.
I know.
A lot of things in the world. But what was Tom saying about the month of April?
Overall, the numbers were pretty good. The only fund that really lost money last month was the I Fund, and that's for a couple of different reasons, but if you follow international markets, there's some turmoil going on in Greece, and I believe Portugal too has a struggling economy right now. So the I Fund, because it is an international fund, it's made up, I believe it's 60% of stocks from Europe. So obviously 65% of the I Fund is made up of companies from Europe and the UK. So obviously what's going on with the European Union, and there was a, like I said, in Portugal as well and Greece.
Well, excuse me. What Tom did not mention, I don't think, is the volcanic eruption in Iceland.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah,
because
it paralyzed air traffic.
Yeah, it paralyzed air traffic for a week. Amy Morris of the Daily Debrief is over in Stockholm right now, and she was telling me, she's been emailing me back and forth, and she was telling me that there's still ash in the sky and there's still residual effects from that. So you know that. You wouldn't think, oh, a volcano exploding would affect my TSP, but it kind of does.
It's the butterfly theory.
Exactly.
You know, a butterfly flaps its wings in Patagonia, and in Hoboken, New Jersey, somebody falls off a ledge.
Right.
And that's the joy and the sorrow of investing in the mm-hmm. I Fund, the International Fund, is it is so widespread, and people who are in it have been doing wonderfully well. It was down for a long time. They kept buying, they were buying low, and then with the strength of the euro, it's been going gangbusters until really just the last couple of weeks.
Right, and I do want to point out, too, that when we talk about this recent loss with the I Fund, it is a loss, but it's not anything like what we saw in September, October of 2008 when the entire global economy collapsed. So you've got... it was 2.35% for the month of April was what the I Fund lost. And if you recall, when we were talking, back in 2008 and I believe it was March of 2009 was when we kind of hit rock bottom, so to speak. And you were seeing double digit losses. So, you know, and Tom's good about reminding listeners and reminding investors that, you know, it is a roller coaster ride and you're in it for the long haul. And if you're looking to make a quick buck,
buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Buy a lottery ticket.
Well, you know, if you just look at the dates here, the market crashed in September, October of 2008, and it bottomed out in March of 2009.
Yes.
So if you were buying during that period,
right.
if you continued to buy, which many people did, you know, they invest a certain percentage of their salary, and that's it, and they buy, they spend a certain amount when it's high, a certain amount when it's low. Those people were buying low, and they got a very good deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, that Tom often talks about is these L funds, which are a combination. And unfortunately, I'm not well enough versed in what each L fund is invested in. But I believe the farther out you are, the more aggressive it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. They have a, as we say in the financial business, they have a greater exposure to
right.
the stock market.
Right.
And it, literally every day they rebalance and get less risky, more conservative, if you will. But and they have a 2040 fund, which means if you're thinking about not retiring then, but if you're thinking about start withdrawing your money mm-hmm. around the year 2040, could be 2035, could be 2045, that's a good fund for you because it will be automatically rebalanced. It'll get more conservative, but you have all those years to invest and you hope make money and have your share prices grow. They're going to be having a 2050 fund coming up at the end of this year. And if you really want to, if you want to be safe and yet walk on the wild side, it's a good one because it's managed by professionals. It's balanced, and the portfolio always has some stocks in it because even after people retire, even federal workers who have annuities that are indexed to inflation, you want to have some growth in your TSP for as long as you live.
And I think part of the benefit of the L fund is that they manage it for you. So if you're, I don't want to say casual investor, but a lot of people are. A lot of people want to put their money away and you know, really not have to concentrate on it and worry about it. And that was one of what Tom brought up as well, as he said he's got a lot of his money in the 2030 fund. Not that he's encouraging people to do that. He was just, mm-hmm. you know, giving an example. And he basically said, you know, they kind of monitor it for me. So,
well, that's true. Most financial experts say don't proactively manage your funds. Let a pro do it. And that's what they're doing here. So. All right. Listen, thank you, Dorothy.
Hey, you're no
for
problem.
Chiming in, and we will see you all here next week. Have a good week. Thanks for joining us. And remember, these shows are archived on our webpage if you want to hear them again or pass them on to a friend. So we'll see you next Wednesday, 10 a.m. Here at WFED, 1500 a.m.
Cisco is the official sponsor of FederalNewsRadio.com. The Cisco Center at FederalNewsRadio.com is your resource for data center, security, and unified communication strategy and solutions.
Here's to you, doctors. After all, yours is the very first face all of us see. You're who all of our mothers hope will someday grow up to be. It's you who we run to with a sniffle, a fever, or the odd case of mesenteric lymphadenitis. You fix our broken bones. You mend our broken hearts. You help us with everything from our allergies to, well, our zits. And though it may seem we sometimes don't appreciate all that you endure to keep us well, the endless years of schooling, the 14-hour shifts, the vending machine coffee, or actually having to read medical journals, we do appreciate you. Because when we're feeling our worst, we can count on you to give us your best. You're our healers. You're our heroes. You're our doctors. So from all of us to all of you, thanks. Kaiser Permanente. May you live long and thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
There are six new names on the wall at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. All six men died within the last